Shalom. Welcome to another episode of Inspiration from Zion. I'm Jonathan Feldstein, and I have the privilege of being your host, coming to you from the Judean Mountains here in Israel. I like to refer to it as the original Bible Belt. Inspiration from Zion is a program of the Genesis 1-2-3 Foundation, whose mission is to build bridges between Jews and Christians with Israel in ways that are new, unique, and meaningful. I pray that you will find this, all of those. Through this program, we're excited to connect you to people and stories in and relating to Israel to give you a window to look through, experiencing aspects of life here that you might not otherwise know about. We want this to be interactive, so please be in touch at inspirationfromzion@gmail.com and send along any questions and any comments about any topic anytime. Or you can reach us at genesis123.co or follow and like Inspiration from Zion on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Stay tuned until the end, where we're also going to share an exciting opportunity, and please feel free to share this with others who you will know will find it of interest. So just as I'm beginning this conversation, I realize it's probably the first time that I have only Christian guests on the show talking about what until very recently has been referred to as a Jewish holiday, a Jewish day of remembrance. It's not a holiday precisely. And actually, that's what makes this so provocative. On the evening of the 12th and all day of the 13th of August this year, the Jewish people and Christians around the world will observe the commemoration of Tisha B'Av, the ninth day of the Hebrew month of Av, when, among other things, we commemorate the destruction of both temples, the Inquisition, the beginning of the Final Solution in Germany, most recently the Hitnatkut, the expulsion of Jewish communities from Gaza nearly 20 years ago, and many more calamities that have befallen the Jewish people. But as we have three incredible guests today, what we're going to show, what we're going to demonstrate, and why, is that Tisha B'Av, a day of mourning, a day of fasting, is now no longer only being observed by Jews around the world. It's very meaningful to me to have this conversation, and I'm hoping for Jews who are listening, you'll also have your eyes open, and for Christians who are listening, to hear the words Tisha B'Av in a language you may not be familiar with, talking about a day in the calendar that you're not familiar with, and historic events going back 2,500 or more years ago, I hope that this is going to tie it all together. So I have three very important guests, friends, who are here with us today. I'd like to introduce them briefly. First is Al McCarn. He is the director of the B'nai Yosef North America and president of the board of 10 from the Nations, two of seven ministries that he works with that are dedicated to bring Christians and Jews together to walk out the promises of Israel's complete restoration. He's the author of the Barking Fox blog. Al is retired from the U.S. Army in 2012 after a long career in military intelligence as an officer. His training in international relations and history served him very well in a 30-year career of military and government service. He uses that experience today to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Al and his wife live in Rock Hill, South Carolina. I didn't know that until you sent me your bio. And they have a dog named Blue. I want to introduce Steve Werp. Whoops, just give me a minute. Steve Werp, who is the president and founder of Blessed by Israel, which is a company here in Israel, founded in 2016, that promotes products and businesses of Jewish pioneers in Judea and Samaria. Blessed by Israel has been able to purchase hundreds of thousands of dollars in products from small businesses throughout Judea and Samaria to resell to people all over the world. Just the other day, he told me he had another, 40 tons that you're sending that's on a ship now on its way from Israel to the U.S. And people should check out the website, blessedbyisrael.com, B-L-E-S-S-E-D-B-U-Y, Israel.com. Amazon.com to see how you can get some of those products. Steve and his wife and their five sons travel an average of 40,000 miles a year across the US, connecting with thousands of people in churches, synagogues, and small groups, telling the story of the Jewish people and our return home, about Jewish families living out their promises given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Actually, how meaningful to have this conversation, especially today, because this month, me and my family do celebrate our 20th anniversary here in the land. Blessed by Israel, Steve and his entire family have partnered for years with the nation's Ninth of Av, which we're going to get into today, which is what we're really going to be talking about, where his family is working to make the observance and connection with Tisha B'Av, the saddest day on the Jewish calendar, into a life-changing event for Christians and Jews around the world. And with us, we have Samuel Werp, Steve's son, who, first of all, is a member of the board of Blessed by Israel. He is with also another entity called Rising Sparks, and most recently, and that's why I'm especially glad to have you with us today, Samuel, author of a very impressive book, and I don't say that rhetorically. I actually read most of it, Dire Straits of Redemption. It's talking about, well, Samuel, we're going to let you talk about what that's about, but it's very, very appropriate, not just for observing the Ninth of Av, Tisha B'Av, that's coming up very shortly, but the 3-week period preceding. So I just want to welcome you all, Steve and Al and Samuel. Oh, and I neglected to mention Samuel, of course, is the son of Steve. That's how he wanted to be introduced. But there's more. You're more than that as well. Let's just start off. I think it's so amazing, and it really struck me now. This is the first time that there's I don't want to, it's not a holiday, but a Jewish day of commemoration that I've done a podcast about, where I have no rabbi, where I have no Jewish authority. I got three amazing Christian friends. Who wants to start and tell me where did this start, so to speak?
Well, I could start because I know Steve has a very passionate heart about this subject and about Christian support for the Jewish people in Israel. So if I don't talk now, I won't get a word in edgewise.
Let's go
And
out.
actually, we all share this passion. In my case, it was our friend Bob Odell about 6 years ago who invited me to come alongside and be part of what was then called the Nation's Ninth of Av. And to hear his story about how he became aware of this is in itself fascinating. You know, he had been working with Jewish people, had been in Israel for, you know, several decades as an entrepreneur, and found out in like 2013 that there was a day that his Jewish colleagues just weren't in the office, and he didn't know why. And he explained it, and they explained to him, "Well, this is a day that's just for us." Of course, it was Tisha B'Av, the Ninth of Av, and that got Bob to begin to look and see what kind of things went into the Ninth of Av, and especially where would there be persecution of Jews by Christians? So he started, as he was going through looking at history, putting things into a spreadsheet whenever he found an event like Jews expelled from this city or pogroms in that city or, you know, through the ages. And he thought he would just observe Tisha B'Av on his own and pray through it, you know, 1 minute on each event. And as Bob tells the story, by the time it was noon, he had gotten up to the Middle Ages and still wasn't halfway through the list.
Wow, I didn't hear that before. That's
Oh yeah,
amazing.
you ought to ask him that story. So see, this was what moved Bob to be more intentional about connections with Orthodox Jews, especially learn what this day is about, learn our history. And you know, he's not the only one who did this. There were others who were simultaneously being drawn by God to engage in this connection. And 2018, 2019, this group coalesced. Steve can and Samuel can tell you their connection with it. There was a special tour that happened in 2019 where a group of Christians came to Israel specifically to observe the Ninth of Av. And it was eye-opening. I was not on that tour. I was on the one last year, but I have been blessed to be part of our 27-hour video observances that we've been doing for like 5 years now, connecting Christians from around the world with our Jewish friends so we can learn from you, so we can come alongside you and recognize our part in the mourning and the grieving that happens in the Jewish community for the tragedies that have befallen over the years. And then look forward to the promises of turning these days of fasting into days of feasting and rejoicing. And this is why we changed the name of the ministry last year from Nations Ninth of Av to Ten from the Nations.
Yes.
We take our inspiration from Zechariah 8, where the returning exiles of Judah, as they're, beginning to rebuild the temple after the Babylonian conquest, they ask the prophet Zechariah, well, should we continue to fast like we've done ever since the temple was destroyed? And an answer that Zechariah returns to them in Zechariah 8:19, he says, the fast days of the fourth, the fifth, the seventh, and the tenth months will become days of feasting and rejoicing for the house of Judah. So love, peace, and truth. And then he goes on at the end of that chapter to say, 10 men from the nations will take hold of the garment of a Jew. We understand that to be the tzitzit of a Jew,
Right.
to say, we know the Lord is with you, let us go with you. And together we go up, we make Aliyah together to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So we know now on our side of the house that we're supposed to help the Jewish people complete their work, to gain their whole inheritance. I mean, all the land that God gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and his descendants, all the promises of redemption and adoption and so on, all of the priesthood, the temple service, all of that is yours. And our job as Christians from the nations is to help you achieve that.
Okay.
So that's the introduction of why we're involved in this and just a thumbnail sketch of the how we got here.
So I love it. I've loved it from the beginning. Big fan of Bob O'Dell. His book, if I remember correctly, which people can get a hold of probably on Amazon, is called The List,
Yes.
which is a thick book. It's 2, maybe even 3 inches. Oh, you're going to show it to us.
Sure. Right
Two,
here.
3 inches
Yes.
thick, listing all of the, yeah, look at that. All of the issues where Jews were persecuted, not only by the church, because much of the persecution comes before the church. I want to, before I open it up to Steve and Samuel, Al, with that introduction, we're going to go in a lot of different directions. Other than in my intro, where it's intuitive that most Christians in the world never heard of Tisha B'Av or the ninth of Av, and don't even know that there's a Hebrew month called Av, or what happened on that day. There's often an unavoidable discomfort among Christians, not just recognizing that in many cases Christians did the persecuting, but just getting their arms around Jewish observance. What sort of things have you come across since 2000? 17, 18, 19, that's the pushback. What are the challenges?
I would say the first thing is ignorance. I just don't understand. I haven't had blatant hostility, anti-Jewish statements or things from the Christians I've engaged, and that includes friends and family. But mostly it's just ignorance. They don't understand that Israel is still important. They don't understand that the Jewish people are still the apple of God's eye and the chosen people, that Jerusalem is God's capital, and they don't get the nuances of the Israeli-Arab conflict, or even that the real name of the West Bank is Judea and Samaria. So when the people I'm talking with are speaking, are asking questions, it's from a place of ignorance because they just don't get it. And they haven't studied the Bible from the beginning to the end to see that God's eternal promises to the people of Israel, and his care for the land of Israel, the only land he cares for, as it says in Deuteronomy, they don't understand that these promises are throughout the scriptures.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm going to make one observation and then actually leave a cliffhanger. Steve, I know you want to say something, but we're going to take a break. The interesting thing is, if it were 10 from the nations and you were promoting observance of Feast of Tabernacles, which we call in Hebrew Sukkot, or Passover, where, I mean, everybody who knows that the Last Supper was a Passover Seder. Jesus was a Orthodox Jew. He observed all of the biblical festivals, or Pentecost, Shavuot. Be a lot easier because those are biblical, but you kind of picked one of the more remote ones. It's significant. I think it's especially significant this year, given what Israel's going through. But I say that by way of admiration, because you're not going for the low-hanging fruit. You're going for the gut. And just as I will be spending time in the Golan Heights comforting the families of the 12 children who were massacred by Hezbollah rocket this year, where I have no direct skin in the game with the Druze families themselves, I think that's a great way of what you're doing is really amazing in terms of showing that solidarity and also recognizing that there's a Christian component to it. Let's take a very quick break, and then Steve, I want to come back with you and you unmuted, muted. We're gonna unmute you and let you free. Hold on, one minute.
As remarkable and miraculous as Israel is, and its very existence a testimony to God's faithfulness, in many ways, Israel's like most other countries. Just as there are parents anywhere who have stronger and weaker parenting abilities, and adults become a product of situations in their lives that they cannot control, making their ability to raise and care for their own children even harder, that's true in Israel as well. The Genesis 1-2-3 Foundation is committed and takes the mandate seriously to care for the least of these, our brothers, our children. We're committed to bless and strengthen orphans and at-risk youth, to invest in them, to empower them, so that their future will be brighter than their past or their present. But Israel is unique in that there are always threats of war and terror which know no bounds. For children who come from homes that are not safe, sometimes the very scary reality of living in a community that's not safe is too much to bear. We are committed to turning orphans and at-risk youth into children of promise. We fund a variety of programs to help those most in need as widely as we can. We invite and encourage you to join us today so that we can ensure their brighter tomorrow. Please visit genesis123.co to find out more and to send your love and most generous donation today.
Okay. I'm already loving the conversation, and I'm really grateful, Al, for that important introduction. Steve, you and I were speaking just yesterday about some of this, and it's, as Al said, probably the best introduction. You know, once you unleash Steve Werp, woo, baby, it gets intense. What do you want to, before we get into some of more the deep things that people need to know, what do you want to add to what Al just said in terms of the beginning of 10 from the Nations, which was then once called Nations Ninth of Av?
Add to the beginning. I think Al did it an excellent job covering pretty much everything. How Bob and Ray Montgomery's hearts were touched when they realized how many atrocities, how consistent it had been throughout the centuries. And it just rent their hearts, because Christianity has said that we represent the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. that somehow we have taken on the mantle. And when you start seeing that what's been done by us and claiming that we represent the God of Israel, we have taken his name in vain. Mm. We have disgraced his name. And everything we have done, I mean, it talks about the fruit of our lives, the fruit of our lips. And I was talking to a rabbi not too long ago, a good friend, and I asked him, will Christianity or, you know, ever be reconciled? Will ever be acceptable to the Jewish people? Will they ever recognize, will there ever be a healing for this? And his big thing is, it's not so much what you say, but what you do. What is the fruit of your lives? What is the fruit of Christianity? And right now, it has not been something that has been building or uplifting or bringing life into the world, especially to the Jewish community. And it just tears my heart apart.
When did you discover that? Was it also a Bob Odell epiphany, or how did you get connected to all of this?
We got connected many years ago, back in 2010. Well, we've been, like, back in the early 90s, I started reading my Bible and recognized that something was wrong. I started looking at Shabbat. I started looking at Pesach. I started looking at the festival. I started realizing that my Christianity was very empty. There was so much more that I'd never been taught and never learned. So I started on a journey to understand, who was this God I said I served? Who was the Messiah I said I believed in? What was his nature? What did he believe? How did he walk? And it just turned my world upside down. So I started on a journey to discover the God, the true God of Abraham, not Isaac and Jacob, not the one that came from Rome, not the one that was, you know, dressed up like an Egyptian, but who is this God that I serve? And along that journey, I started meeting more and more people from the Jewish community. And they weren't the people that I thought they were. They were loving, kind people that honored the Lord, that kept traditions out of love, out of respect, out of honor, that yearned for the promises of God and the fulfillment of the covenant, that wanted the temple rebuilt, not for their own, just for their own sake, but they said, this is to be a house of worship for all nations, and we want God's presence back. And along that journey, we got involved with a group out of Tübingen, Germany, by Jobst Bittner.
Oh.
And the March of Life in Tübingen, Germany. And we took over the March of Remembrance, and we were over the whole group for about 5 or 6 years in the United States. So we helped organize up to 50, 60 events across the U.S.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Every Yom HaShoah. Myself and several of my sons were invited to go to school at Yad Vashem in Jerusalem. So we went through the intense training, and we made a commitment. We said, never again will we be silent when anti-Semitism started to rise again. And then in 2015, 2016, the Obama administration started talking about labeling products out of Judea and Samaria. And our family sat down and had to make a determination. Would we be silent or would we act? That's when Blessed by Israel was birthed. It was birthed out of the BDS movement, which means to boycott, divest, and sanction. And we decided that instead of boycotting, divesting, and sanctioning, we would bless
bless, defend, and serve.
Bless, defend, and serve.
Well, it takes the younger generation. Thank you, Samuel.
Yes, that's why he lifts me up and puts me right. He's one of my strengths. But we wanted to bless, defend, and serve. So we started by February of 2016. We had started a company. Samuel and myself were over here, boots on the ground in Judea and Samaria, and finding small businesses and entrepreneurs throughout the settlements out here in Judea and Samaria to help promote their products. Because anti-Semitism thrives when you have a character where you don't see real people.
Yes.
So our heart was not only to support them financially and their businesses and help them grow, but also tell their stories.
Amazing. And you do a great job of it.
Opportunity.
Again, the website for people who want to check it out is blessedbybuyisrael.com. And you do that. It's not just a retail site, but you're connecting people with the stories, with my neighbors who have great products that need to be purchased. And it's not, I suppose in August, it's not too early to start buying for Christmas.
Well, we have a whole bunch more products coming. Like you said, we just, they're going on ship. They should start heading for New York next week. Amazing. So we're really excited about that. But you know, it's one thing, and I think it's the heart ties that have really been amazing.
Okay.
So we've been able to actually join in this great work.
So I want to take that as a follow-up, but perhaps a different direction. And Samuel, I'm going to come back to you. We have to, because what you wrote this year is really quite incredible and impressive. But while we're connecting, you, Steve, Al, Samuel, and we are, you know, just a week plus away from the actual observance of Tisha B'Av, what's happening this year that people need to connect with, and how can people connect, so that for someone listening to this who may have only heard of Tisha B'Av for the very first time right now, what do they need to know, and where are they going to tune in on the 12th and 13th of August?
Well, I can jump in real quick on that. Okay. Go to our website, 10fromthenations.org, and that's all spelled out, 10 from the nations, one word, 10fromthenations.org. And there you can find out what's going on. I mean, right now, since we're in the dire straits between the 17th of Tammuz and the 9th of Av, we have daily one-hour prayer calls by Zoom, which happen at 7 p.m. Jerusalem time, noon Eastern time in the U.S. But on the 12th and 13th, we will have a 27-hour video prayer event, which will feature some live streams from Jerusalem. Steve and Samuel can tell you more about that. We will have facilitators from around the U.S., actually around the world, and that will begin at 6 p.m. Jerusalem time on Monday, the 12th of August, and continue on through 9 p.m. Tuesday, the 13th. So we'll go just before and all the way afterwards to give an introduction and a wrap-up. Lots of teaching, lots of prayer, and it should be a great event. This thing has just continued to grow over the last 5 years. So visit our website, 10fromthenations.org, and that's where you'll get started.
Great. Awesome. Okay, thank you. Steve, anything you want to add? What are they people going to see? You're here in Israel, Al's in the U.S. What are people going to see? What are they going to connect with here that's so vivid and visual that people wouldn't think of?
Well, this is all about joining the people. And that's what I was sharing, why we started Blessed by Israel. And without the people, without the Jewish people, Israel would still be a wasteland. The land thrives when the people have returned and God's pouring out his spirit and we're seeing the restoration. But you only get really close to people. You can go to Shavuot. You can go to all these wonderful celebrations with the Jewish people. But until you sit down and you actually weep with them, you don't know their heart. It's like going when somebody dies in their deepest, darkest moments, when you join them there, that's when permanent heartstrings are attached. So what we've done is we go on Tisha B'Av, we fast and we pray, full fast, no leather, and we stand with the Jewish people, no water, no drinking. We will join them for the march around the walls on that evening, and we will walk with the Jewish community. They will read through Lamentations, they will share with us, and then we will walk around the walls with the Jewish community. And when we get to the end, there will be more talks. You will hear different people from the Jewish community sharing, from the women in green. Sometimes MKs are down there and other people just sharing their hearts, what this Tisha B'Av mean to them. Afterwards, in the morning, we will go down to the Davidson Archaeological Center down in the southern steps of the Temple Mount. And as a Christian community, we will be praying and we will be fasting.
Okay. I think I know why there, but why there?
Well, that was the very entrance to the temple. That's where a lot of the teaching went on. And so we want to go there. It's time for us to take responsibility for what's been done by our forefathers. We cannot change the past, but we can change the future. But changing the future means taking ownership. Changing the future means taking responsibility for what's been done. Changing the future means taking action to repair the breaches, to tear down the walls and make amends. So we really believe that us going together as a community on Tisha B'Av to the Southern Steps, praying and fasting, crying out to the Lord for forgiveness, is the place where we get a new beginning. And only after we take a hold of that can we go and bless the Jewish community as a whole and join them.
Right. Okay. You mentioned no leather and not drinking, just for those who are you. It's so fascinating, again, to have a conversation with three people who aren't Jewish, who understand exactly what that shorthand means. But now I know I need to explain it, because there are people who are following this who don't know. What does it mean, no leather? And any of you feel free to add to what I'm going to say, but it, as much as we go through individual mourning, and the Jewish tradition is you sit on low chairs, you don't wear leather shoes, you don't put on makeup, there are no sexual relations. It's not a personal mourning, is not including fasting and but no kinds of adornment. Even we cover the mirrors in our home, so we're not focused on our own outwardly look and other overt signs of mourning. What you experience, what you're part of, is a national day of mourning. That we're still mourning for something that began, correct me if I'm wrong, some 2,500 years ago with the destruction of the first temple. And then it was only when it lined up with the same day and the same calendar day and on the biblical calendar, the second temple was destroyed also on that day. And then all of these other things that have happened until most recently, the destruction of the Jewish communities that had been in Gaza. And arguably, if they were still there, we might not have seen the devastation of October 7th and many things since then. So I just want people to understand that you're talking about a full day of national mourning, and it's not only here in Israel. It's wherever you find Jews, and thanks to you, wherever we can educate Christians, we're seeing people participate in this as well. I'm going to use that as a quick segue to take a break. I want to let you finish up with any thoughts, Steve. And Samuel, we have to talk about your book because it's so important and so appropriate now. But we're going to take one more quick break.
Friends, Israel's at war, and the war may get worse before it gets better. Much worse. It's going to be a long war because the enemy is the epitome of evil. It's not just a matter of overcoming troops on a battlefield, but overcoming a theology, an ideology, an evil one. While the Genesis 1-2-3 Foundation has been overwhelmed with the support of so many donations to the Israel Emergency Campaign, there's so much more that needs to be done. We've invested your donations that we've received so far strategically to make the biggest impact possible, whether helping with soldiers and their equipment and personal needs, to providing civilian security for outlying border communities, to relocating and settling several families from near the Gaza war zone, launching the global petition drive to support Israel in the face of pressure for a ceasefire and long-term needs for at-risk children, traumatized now more than ever before. Please take a moment to pause this conversation right now and go to love.genesis123.co and donate generously. We value your trust, and we will keep all donors informed about how and where your donations are being used to contribute to make the biggest impact possible. And when you use that link, love.genesis123.co, you can also send your prayers and words of encouragement to Israelis of all backgrounds. Just sending your love, something that we need so desperately. Thank you, and God bless you and your loved ones.
Okay, Steve, Samuel, Al, thank you again. So enlightening. And we're not even finished with the conversation, and I already feel like we're going to be cheating people for not getting enough out of this conversation. So I guess that's appropriate, which is why I wanted to host you to tell everyone to go to 10fromthenations.org and participate in what they're doing. Steve, I think I cut you off before the break and you were going to add something. So I'm going to let you finish up if you want.
Yeah, I think it's very important that we as Christians do not reinvent the day. We don't try to do our own celebrations or try to make our own Tisha B'Av, but that we join the Jewish people and we honor them. We don't want to take, we don't want to negate, we don't want to steal a day that the Jewish people hold so dearly. But our prayer is that by joining them, we will have that opportunity to change that day into a day of joy, into a day of peace, into a day of celebration. And I believe it's up to the nations. And the highlight of our Tisha B'Av trip is going on to the Temple Mount. And generally, we go up with Rabbi Yehudi Glick, and he takes us for a tour. And we're not looking at that point at just the past. We are gazing at the past, but we're up there with the Jewish community praying for the future. So we don't want to get stuck in the, we don't want to get stuck in the past. We're looking at the past to know how to go forward.
Excellent.
And I think that is the lesson of Tisha B'Av, for me especially. Is Samuel, going into the future with you.
Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Samuel, maybe a bad analogy, but let's assume your father just got a really solid base hit. I'm going to put you up next. And it's maybe an appropriate analogy, because what you've done writing Dire Straits of Redemption kind of knocks it out of the park. You've taken it. You've taken the commemoration of this, of Tisha B'Av, but not just Tisha B'Av, but this season that we're in, and we haven't even discussed that. You've taken it to another level. First of all, can you perhaps explain the season? Because I haven't yet. And what your book is about, and where to get it, and what motivated it?
Yeah, for sure. First of all, thank you for having me and having us. It's a privilege and an honor to finally be talking after 2,000 years again. And so I think that's what the Ninth of Av is really all about, is finally having a conversation, and real conversations, not talking at each other, but to each other. And so for me, I grew up around a lot of Jewish people. You know, I grew up in the church and in the synagogue. Like, it was a very, it was normal for me to be in both worlds. And so I feel blessed to have gotten to know the hearts of both sides. And for me, I realized that, and I think all of us are realizing, we've been talking past each other for a very, very long time. And what one term means to the Jewish people means something totally different to Christians, or, you know, an understanding of say, Tisha B'Av and crying over the lost temple means nothing to Christianity. And so for me and for us, I think the heart has been to bring people to the place of understanding what the Jewish people are all about, and why this time, this season that we're in, is really a time of mourning and is a time of hurt. And the best way that I can tell or talk to people about Tisha B'Av, and the way I explain it is, and I'll get to the 3 weeks that we're in, but the best way I explain Tisha B'Av is that when the Romans destroyed Jerusalem, not only was it a loss for the Jewish people, but it was a loss for the entire world. Like, nobody won on that day. When the Romans came and they destroyed the temple, Jewish people obviously didn't win. The Romans didn't win, and the nations of the world also did not win. It was a loss for everyone. And we've ever since then, we've been on a losing streak. And the Jewish people for 2,000 years since that time have kept a tradition of mourning over the loss of this house of God, a place of prayer for all nations. And finally, only now are we waking up to the reality that it's not the Jewish temple. It's all of our temple. It's our house, right? This is a house for all the nations of the world to come and be not only reunited with God, but reunited with our Jewish brothers and sisters. So recognizing this time that we're in, right, between what's called the 17th of Tammuz on the Jewish calendar, which is when the Romans broke down the walls, basically entered Jerusalem, until the 9th of Av, when finally the Romans destroyed Jerusalem, but also prior to that, the Babylonians. This time is basically 3 weeks that are referred to in Hebrew as Bein HaMetzavim, right? The time of the dire straits. What we know from Zechariah, as Mr. Al was talking about, Zechariah 8 talks about that the fasts of the fourth and fifth month are going to become feast days, right? They're going to be days of joy for the Jewish people. And the question is, how do we get there? So we have these fast days turning into feast days. And the understanding is, how do we get from the point of mourning over what's happened to a place of joy? Well, the biggest thing that we see is it says, first of all, in that chapter that the strong nations are going to come and seek God in Jerusalem. So that's one answer. And the second thing is it says that, as it says, 10 from the nations are going to come and take hold of the garment of a Jew. And I think Dad brought this up, right? The tzitzit of a Jew, and say that God is with you. Well, I think for the longest time, we've been trying to grab the garment of a Jew, but the only Jewish people that wear tzitzit are religious Jews, right? And so we might have been grabbing onto Jews, but we were maybe grabbing onto the wrong Jews. The religious Jews are the ones that are keeping the ninth of Av, that have kept these fasts, that are now reminding us of what we lost on that day so many years ago. And so during this time, we call it the dire straits. But what I see is a dire straits that leads to redemption. And what I mean is that just as these fast days are going to become days of feasting, so too for us, a dire straits is kind of, and we could use the analogy of a new birth, right? There's a very difficult time, and then all of a sudden we enter into a birth. And what I would say is not just birth, or in some ways it's a rebirth or resurrection of a relationship that we haven't had for 2,000 years, and that's with the Jewish people. And so this book is all about, how do we as Christians come into right relationship with the Jewish people from a place of humility, from a place of brokenness, from a place of realizing that we also lost something 2,000 years ago. And then how do we get back to that place of desiring what God desires and aligning our hearts with each other?
An observation and a question. The observation is, when you say, I love how you said it, we also lost something. What's so fascinating, of course, is 2,000 years ago, there was no Christianity. So you're talking about your connection as a Gentile to which we've discussed here a few times, the temple being a house of prayer for all nations, not a Jewish house of prayer. And that's fascinating. And you speak in the first person about it because it matters. And that's real significant. My question is, first of all, so we don't forget, where do people go to get dire straits of redemption? And what are they going to see there? What's in the book?
Yeah, so great question. So if you go to Amazon, just type in The Dire Straits of Redemption by Samuel Werp, W-E-A-R-P. You'll be able to find the book. And what the book is all about is basically starting from a place of The way I would see this book is, first of all, there's this recognition of 2,000 years of the past, right? Christianity has to own the past. And unfortunately, we have a very bad past. And for quite a while, I would say in my younger years, I heard people use the excuse of, well, they were not real Christians. But after 2,000 years, I think we would figure out that then there were a lot of not real Christians out there, right? And so how many not real Christians do there have to be before we figure out that something is wrong, right? The formula is wrong. We're missing something. And so I realized that's not a very good excuse. It's a bad excuse, and it's a lousy excuse for thousands of years of doing things the wrong way. So, and by the way, the Jewish people weren't asking, right? Are you a real Christian? You know, when the crusader came into their home, that wasn't a question they were thinking. So we need to own our past. We need to own our history. And that's what that kind of the first week is all about, getting right with our past, recognizing and owning it. The second week is more so geared towards what our current calling is. Like, what did God really want from us? Like, what should we have been doing for the past 2,000 years? And then the last week is really geared towards now, how are we moving into the future? What does the future look like for Christians and Jews? And so it's definitely geared towards a Christian audience, but it's geared towards a Christian audience who can read this book and then take it to engage with the Jewish community from a place of right relationship, from a place of really seeking to have a relationship that is meaningful. And so that we're not talking at each other, but we can finally like read the same Bible, right? The pages, the words on the page say the same thing. And so that our desires are aligned. Unfortunately, and this is what I've been telling people, I actually just spoke to a group today at Yad Vashem, at the Holocaust Museum here in Jerusalem. And one of the things I was telling them is the problem that we have in Christianity, and something that we really need to recognize, and then, first of all, we need to get rid of all of the replacement theology, anti-Semitism within Christianity. But the problem that we have is we took the Bible that the Jewish people gave us, and then we turned it around and used it as a sword against you, and against the rest of Judaism. And that's not right. And we need to repent for that. And we need to get right with that. We need to read the Bible for what it says and not how we've interpreted it for 2,000 years. And when you read it for what it says, it's very easy. It's very simple. It's not very complicated.
Right.
Where it says, say to Zion, your God reigns. Right. That's all we're asking from people. Let's just go to Zion and say, your God reigns. When it says in Zechariah, the strong nations are going to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem. Well, all right, that's where we fit in, right? So just agreeing with the Bible, agreeing with what God's word says, and then saying, and then realizing, recognizing that brings us into unity with the Jewish people, I think has been a powerful thing for me, and it will be a powerful thing for the rest of Christianity when we just take the Bible for what it says and then join the Jewish people together in that.
But that goes back, I think, to an earlier question that I asked about what are the challenges, and you're taking something more than ignorance. I think, Al, that's what you were saying. You're actually talking about going to some of the theological underpinnings of Christianity that people have grown up with for generations, if not centuries, and that's threatening. You're certainly going to have, if you haven't had already, no shortage of resistance. Steve, I first of all want to comment that, I mean, I don't need to say it, but I'll observe it. You have to be a very proud father to have your son write something like this, yes, and speak so eloquently and passionately about it. I get the cue that from unmuting that you want to say something. So I'm going to let you say something before I begin to wrap it up.
The restoration of Jewish sovereignty in the land of Israel was an earth-shattering event. For Christians, it was a confirmation that God always keeps his covenantal promises. Today, we are blessed to see God's fingerprints in the modern miracle of the land of Israel playing out in our lives among the people and in the state of Israel. This year, on the occasion of Israel's 75th anniversary, the Genesis 123 Foundation has been privileged to bring together 75 Christian leaders from around the world to lend their unique voices, sharing their personal faith experiences relating to Israel, and their in-depth insight into Israel's history and spiritual significance to create an historical, one-of-a-kind, high-end coffee table book, Israel the Miracle. Israel the Miracle's stunning imagery will fill your home with the hope of fulfilled promises and conversations about Israel. It's perfect gift to anybody for any occasion, and most of all, to yourself. You'll also be a blessing to Israel, knowing that the proceeds will go to bless Israelis of all backgrounds. Be a part of Israel the Miracle and bring the land, the people, and the state of Israel into your heart and into your home. Visit IsraelTheMiracle.com to get your limited edition copy today.
Yeah, I'm definitely very proud of Sano, but one of the most difficult parts is not just ignorance, but within our doctrines, within our understanding of the Bible, we have a built-in anti-Semitism, anti-Judaism, anti-rabbis, sometimes the God of Israel that we read, a lens that we read scripture through, that has to be removed. It has to be removed. And this goes back 2,000 years. John Christosom, Justin Martyr, Constantine, over and over and over again. Augustine, the early church fathers were anti-Semitic. And they created a new religion and separated it from the root. And I heard a very interesting take on this today. A lady was saying that Christianity is like a beautiful flower. It's like a rose.
Okay.
But that rose has been put in a vase and it's in the water. And without a root, it dies. For 2,000 years, we've been separated from the root. And unless Christianity is grafted back in to where it came from, with the Jewish people, with the Torah, with an understanding of who we are, Christianity is going to die. And so my prayer right now, I'm very, very worried about my Christian brothers and sisters. I'm very, very worried about Christianity in general, because the ignorance and the refusal to look in the mirror and understand, because it's an inconvenient truth. You don't like to look at this. It's very uncomfortable. And it's very disconcerting when you realize that much of your faith has been built on lies. It's like pulling the rug out from under you. But we want the truth, because our master said that you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. We need to get back and seek the truth. We need to be grafted right back into that tree, because there are no covenants given to the nations, not one. There's a covenant that was given to the nation of Israel and the house of Judah. And unless we come in under that umbrella, there is no redemption.
Okay.
So our prayer and the purpose for doing the Ninth of Av and so many other things that we're involved in, that Al's involved in, that Samuel's involved in, that I'm involved in, is to bring redemption to the nations by having them come alongside and take their place alongside the Jewish people. We talked about the tzitzit, grabbing hold of the tzitzit. I don't believe that we grab a hold of the tzitzit and the Jewish people have to drag us up to make aliyah. What I want to do is grab the tzitzit and lift you up to your place, and in that way say God is with you.
Excellent.
That is our dream.
Thank you. I love that. As much as I regret that we're wrapping up this conversation, I'm glad. Because I think in broadcasting or in anything, part of the trick of success is leave people wanting more. So the more is go to 10fromthenations.org and participate in everything that you're doing. I'm pleased that I'm participating. I do want to wrap up with one kind of question, and I deliberately save this to the end, because I think each of you have alluded to it, if not outright expressed it. But again, for somebody who's listening for the first time and never heard of Tisha B'Av, they don't understand what it means to go from a day of fasting to a day of feasting, that it's going to be a day of mourning to a day of joy. And, you know, the cynic in me could say, an ignorant cynic could say, well, what does that mean? When you get tired of it after another 2,000 years, you're just going to make a barbecue and that'll be like Memorial Day in America. What does it mean? to go from a day of fasting to a day of feasting? Where does that come from? Whomever. Go ahead, Al.
Yeah, I'll take, okay. Something from U.S. history. We have now a new holiday called Juneteenth.
Yes.
19th of June, because it was on the 19th of June in 1865 that word came to formerly enslaved African Americans in Texas that the Civil War was over, emancipation had happened, and they were free people at last. This was the last enslaved community to find out the news that they were free. And so up to that point, the 19th of June for them had been just another day of drudgery, slavery, wow, working for someone else. From that day forward, the African-American community has observed that as this is a day we rejoice in our freedom. So what was sorrow is now joy. We learn from the Jewish people this same principle in Passover, because it's the same thing. True. And so that is what I'm expecting, is that it's a day of feasting and rejoicing, because all of a sudden, these two people who profess faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are no longer enemies, but are actually acting like the, as our my friend David Nekretman says, people who are in a covenantal relationship because of our connection to the God of Israel. And we can rejoice instead of wounding one another. That's excellent. What I see.
Excellent. Steve, Samuel, you want to add anything quickly to that?
I was just thinking of the 4 days, which is, you know, the siege, the breaching of the walls, the temple
four fast
destroyed.
Days that we observe.
The four fast days that are observed being restored, that Jerusalem is no longer under siege, that the walls of Jerusalem are no longer been breached by her enemies, that the temple is restored. And yes, there will be a barbecue and I will be there. It is going to be a wonderful day of feasting and of joy, and righteous leadership is restored. So I'm looking for these fast days to be reversed and the kingdom of Israel to be established, and that every nation can come up and worship. And the word of the Lord comes from Jerusalem. The law, the instructions, how we should live comes from Zion, and all nations come up.
Amazing. Samuel, anything you want to add? What are you looking for? What's gonna mark the feast days?
Yeah, so I just wanted to quickly give a personal story. I was asked by actually a Jewish group of young Israelis. I was up in Har Bracha, where a lot of Christians go to volunteer with an organization called Hayovel to work in the agriculture. And they asked me, they said, they were like, Mata choshev ala matzav be'aza? Like, what do you think about the situation in Gaza? And, you know, for me, like, they were asking, what is your answer? What do you think is going to happen there? This is the only answer that I can give. For the longest time, I think if we looked at Jewish and Christian relations, everybody would have said it's not possible. Like it is impossible for Jews and Christians to be able to walk together Excellent. In peace and harmony. That is the answer for Gaza. And I think the only way that we can bring peace, not only to the Middle East, but to the world, is when we show that brothers can, after 2,000 years of opposition and hatred and vitriol, that brothers can be reunited together in harmony once again. And so that's the answer that I think this day is showing. There is the ability for brothers to be reunited and regather together. And so that's my hope, is that we can show the world that we can build a better and brighter future together.
What great and diverse answers, and something that's so, you know, if I didn't want it before, now I really want to get to that feast day, excuse me. Al, Steve, Samuel, what a great conversation. I do feel a sense of guilt that it's so short, but I really feel that we've definitely scratched the surface. And I really want to encourage everybody who's listening to go to nationsninthofav.org and be part of it. Get the book, The Dire Straits of Redemption, and buy your Made in Judea and Samaria products at BlessedByIsrael, BUY, And we'll put all those in the show notes. I'm real grateful for all of you, the three of you, for joining us. And I'm looking forward to participating and partnering, collaborating further.
Thank you, Jonathan.
We always end this show in somewhat of a self-deprecating way. And I, every time I say this, I feel like I probably ought to stop saying it. But if you stayed with us this long, you deserve a reward. Well, honestly, the conversation is a reward in and of itself. But because you've stayed with us this long, we're going to give you a reward. For years now, we've always offered a special incentive for you to like, comment, and share the link to this show. And the incentive has been a program called From Jonathan's Bookshelf. Until about a year ago, we were always promoting other people's books until we came out with our own, Israel the Miracle. So for every month, for I think it's the last 11 months now, maybe it's 12, we've been offering a free copy. It's a beautiful, stunning coffee table book with 75 essays by Christian leaders from all over the world writing about why Israel is significant. It's worth $75 retail value. So we're offering a free copy that we would just pick one person at random every month who comments, shares, or likes the link to this program. So please do that. And then maybe you'll get a surprise email from me saying, hey, where can I send you a book? We're always grateful that this podcast is sponsored by our friends at the Willow Run Greenhouse in Culpeper, Virginia. And if you're ever in the area, please stop in and thank them for helping to make conversations like this possible. And also thanks to the Coyne family for their meaningful sponsorship. Inspiration from Zion and all of the Genesis 1-2-3 Foundation programs are made possible by donations. So please consider helping to join us to help continue the dialogue and build bridges. And if you're interested in sponsoring a future episode in honor or memory of a loved one or a special occasion or your soon to be or your favorite fast day, soon to be feast day, please be in touch at inspirationfromzion@gmail.com. We'd always love to hear your comments and questions as part of a dialogue and invite you to send questions about traditional Judaism to our Ask the Rabbi program. Please share this with others who will also find it of interest. And please continue to join us right here, where we bring you more meaningful conversations about unique topics relating to Israel that you won't hear anywhere else. Wherever you are in the world, I pray that you and your loved ones are all safe and healthy. And I send my blessings from right here in the Judean Mountains. God bless you. Hallelujah.